Welcome to How to Money. I'm Joel.
And I am Matt.
And today we're discussing money simplicity breeds better results.
Joel, would you be offended if I called you a simple man?
I don't think so. No, I think I'd be all right with that.
Well, because we have been talking about this episode, we know that simplicity is a good thing. A lot of times when it comes to our money, complexity can be the enemy of what we actually need to do to make progress when it comes to our money. So I'm excited, man, that we are going to talk about simplicity, how it plays a role in our personal finances, and how it is that we can go about simplifying our money.
Yeah, I completely agree. I think simplicity is far more important than we give it credit for in so many areas of our life. And so we're going to talk about what simplicity brings to the table, how we can get rid of complexity as much as possible when it comes to how we handle our money, and how that actually does benefit us in the long run.
Yeah.
And so, Matt, but you know what another important thing is when it comes to our money? Transparency.
You like that see-through cash?
Well, so not actually see-through cash, although that would be neat if that was possible.
I used to have a credit card that was transparent. It was the first time Amex did the kind of clear, transparent card.
Remind you of that old school Pepsi product?
Pepsi Crystal or Crystal Pepsi, whatever.
Yeah,
yeah, that's not natural. I like my high fructose corn syrup beverages to have some opaqueness to them.
Exactly, right?
I don't want to be able to see through that.
Well, what I really wanted to get at with transparency is how, you know, the more we can understand, the more we know about the cost we're incurring when we're buying something, the more we can understand whether it's worth it or not. And Matt, recently on the show, we talked about getting increased financial aid, how, you know, students right now, if their household has experienced kind of a drop in income, that they can appeal for more financial aid from schools. And I just recently saw something about this website called tuitionfit.org, and it allows students to upload their own financial aid award letters to see whether other people like them with the same academic profile and financial status could get a better deal from their school or from similar schools if they wanted to switch universities.
Nice.
Yeah, so it's like basically you upload it, you see what other people are paying for college, and you might realize, you know what, I'm getting a raw deal, and maybe I should consider transferring if I want to graduate with a whole lot less student loan debt.
Nice, man. I love that. I love the ability that we have now in pooling our information and our resources together. And in this case, create a tool that students and parents of the students who are oftentimes footing the bill to come together and see what is and what isn't a good deal. It also makes me think of what other areas in our life might a tool like this be beneficial. You know, I'm thinking of maybe the largest expense that a lot of people have, which is their homes. How cool would it be if we could upload the quote that we received from some of these different lenders and maybe compare that to other quotes that others received who have a similar adjusted gross income?
Maybe similar credit score.
Exactly, yeah. And so like, I think it would be really beneficial there. I could see it also being awesome, maybe even in healthcare. Like, what are you paying for health insurance and what kind of quotes are you receiving on certain procedures? Because those aren't really things we talk about, because a lot of times, at least when it comes to healthcare visits, like, it's not that big of a deal. You don't really think about it, but it all adds up.
Yeah.
And so you don't really think about it because it just feels kind of petty to be like, hey, how much do you guys pay to go for a wellness checkup for your one-year-old? You know, like, that's not really something I've asked you, but actually is something we should talk about. But certainly when it comes to bigger expenses like mortgages, I could really see that being valuable.
Yeah. And it seems like it's been valuable for the roughly 6,000 people that have uploaded their profiles on tuitionfit.org. Yeah. So for our listeners who are currently in college or have a kid in college and they're looking to see if the school they're currently enrolled at can increase, you know, the allocation of funds their way, or they're potentially looking to go to another school in order to save money, I think this website can be of some help. So we'll be sure to link to that one in the show notes.
Yeah, man, we will definitely do that. Let's go ahead and introduce our beer for this episode, which is called, Scorpius Morcella. Is that how you say that, you think?
I think so.
Yeah. This is another one by Toppling Goliath, which was donated to the show by Kelsey, again, up there in Iowa. So Kelsey, thanks again for sending this one our way, and we're going to share our thoughts on this beer at the end of the episode.
Yeah, we will, but let's get on to money simplicity breeding better results, Matt. And yeah, we're talking about simplicity and finances today because learning how to simplify your approach to your money, it really is a game changer, right? Our lives have so much complexity already. most listeners out there probably have two, maybe three different email accounts on your phone. That alone can feel a bit overwhelming as notifications just continue to pop in. Emails from work, personal emails, all sorts of things. Even just talking about it right now has me a little sweating under the brow.
I have five different email accounts.
Uh-oh, that's way too many.
For the five different lives that I lead.
The different families you have, stuff like that.
Yeah, just kidding.
Yeah, and the more complex our lives get, the more those seemingly beneficial things tend to drain us, right? Email initially gives us this ability to connect and to write people when we need to. But when we have multiple accounts that we're having to check on a daily or hourly basis, it begins to feel like it's too much. That's certainly true of technology, but the same can be true of our finances. The more complicated the approach that we take to our money, well, the more likely the wheels are going to come off as we bag the system altogether down the road.
Yeah, man, I like what you said about it being draining. You know, like, how is it that technology is actually making us more exhausted when its purpose should be to make things easier for us? Also, how is it that with so many different great financial tools and products at our disposal, so many people are having a difficult time getting ahead with their money? I think it's because they're overwhelmed. You know, we have too many complex options available to us, and it's actually keeping us from doing the right things. So we'll highlight the importance of simplicity and discuss how to make your personal financial life a winning mix of straightforward yet thoughtful actions.
Yeah, that's the goal, right? Simplicity breeding something that isn't too dumbed down, that we're not effective.
Yeah.
But that it makes it easier for us to actually do the things that need to get done. And yeah, this, I would say, Matt, is kind of the financial version of a recent episode that we had with Joshua Becker, where he came on to talk about minimalism, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And in that convo, we talked about the kind of clarity that owning fewer things can bring. Well, the same thing is true when we're talking about our money. We'll have heightened clarity, the ability to achieve things that we might have not thought possible if we prioritize simplifying things. And I'm seeing this more and more in my own life as I get older. Our financial lives tend to get more complicated, which can muddy the waters and distract us from the tasks that we truly need to focus on, whether they're money related or not. And this actually makes me think about, you know, a professor. I don't remember his name off the top of my head, but he developed like this index card. He wrote everything you need to know about personal finances in just this one little place. And it kind of became this viral sensation. People were like, oh, really? All you actually need to know can fit on this index card. Yeah. And in so many ways, it's true. When we're taking a simple approach, the things that we actually really do need to know can fit on an index card. It's kind of funny, though. He ended up writing a book about it later.
It's kind of like the opposite of the whole premise of the card.
Exactly. I thought that was really funny that he turned it into that.
But it's true. You know, there isn't this incredibly wide breadth of information that we need to have knowledge on. You know, like, one of the benefits of simplifying is that we're able to narrow our focus on the areas that, you know, where we can have a deeper impact. You know, there are many different ways to invest your money, but it takes a long time to feel that you've mastered how to invest well. You know, I could certainly learn about commercial real estate investing, but because I like simplicity, I'm going to stick with single family homes, residential investing inside a limited geographic area. And instead of learning how to trade options, maybe shorting stocks, becoming an expert commodity trader.
Ooh, that one's yours. I think you can handle that one.
I probably could, maybe. I don't know. I like to overcomplicate stuff. I could think that these are ways that I'm going to outperform the market in the coming years, but instead, I'm going to stick to the index funds that I know are going to do well. They're going to mirror the entire stock market. And, you know, you can't really go with a simpler approach than that.
Yeah, simple as can be, that's for sure. And I think, too, simplicity, Matt, it can breed confidence, right? Through simplifying, you're going to have a thorough understanding of the things that you do partake in. It feels so good to actually understand where you're putting your money and why you're doing the things that you're doing. And in fact, people can get into real big trouble when they don't fully comprehend the financial products that they're participating in. That's where scams and ripoffs come into play. We'll talk about that in just a minute. And also, too, it's where we get taken advantage of by salespeople who want to sell us products that are more expensive than their much simpler versions that we can easily understand and purchase ourselves. And one major example of that is something like life insurance.
Yeah, that's right, man. That's why we like term life insurance. It's pretty simple. And, you know, no one's looking to sell you a term life insurance plan because there's not a whole lot of money involved in it. You're not going to get ripped off. It does exactly what you want it to do, which is provide a benefit, provide a payout in case you die.
Right.
Like, that's what you need life insurance to do.
Yeah, and there are all these complicated types of life insurance that muddy the waters.
Yeah, you don't need that.
Include investing inside of your life insurance policy. And those are the things you want to stay away from. They're too complex to even really fully understand, for most of us at least.
That's right. And so we're talking about the benefits of simplicity. Another way that we can talk about those benefits are by talking about the drawbacks of complexity. And we'll get into some of those right after the break.
All right, Matt, we're back from the break. We're talking about simplicity and the importance of keeping your personal finances simple. And to kind of drive that point home, let's talk about some of the problems that come when we do increase the level of complexity when it comes to our personal finances. There are a lot of drawbacks when things get out of hand and things become too complex in our personal lives when it comes to our money. And one of those big problems is inaction, right? We tend to avoid doing things that are overly complicated or that we perceive to be too difficult. One of the reasons I think that people hate thinking about their personal finances or sometimes even getting started budgeting or anything like that when it comes to their money is that they imagine or they believe that it's too complex. There's just too much to think about. And so then we just tend to throw up our hands and stop thinking about our money at all. And if we do that, it's highly unlikely that we're actually going to be in a strong position financially
right.
if we've just thrown our hands up and said, no way. But if we're able to keep things simple, then the likelihood that we'll be able to take action to increase our debt slashing, our savings accounts, and wealth building efforts, well, the likelihood goes way up that we're actually going to do something and get started and start to positively impact our financial future.
And this is such an important point, right? The fact that when things get complicated, we resist them. And I think that the vast majority of folks kind of fall into this boat. However, there's a flip side to it, right? There is the potential that complexity can cause you to take too much action. With complexity, you run the risk of your finances maybe taking up too much of your time. Maybe you get obsessed with it. If you're the type of person who likes to give something 100%, you know, or someone who maybe focuses on the details too much, then an overly complicated financial life has the potential to dominate your life. This is, you know, the opposite of inaction. This is where it takes over your life. Things can get really out of whack if you're devoting way too much of your time towards money. You know, even if you do try to, you know, make it sound responsible or sophisticated by calling it, you know, your personal finances, it's still just your money. And so we try to approach our money in a way that is balanced. You know, we know the importance of handling our money well now, but we also don't want that to become what characterizes our life. If that becomes all of who we are, then that's maybe an example of having won the battle but lost the war.
Yeah, basically then money's taken all the way over and that complexity has basically ruined our lives
yeah.
as we let money become the number one priority.
And I wanted to share that one specifically too, man, because that's kind of a personal struggle of mine. You know, like we kind of joke about how I overcomplicate things and make things overly sophisticated and I analyze stuff way too much, get way too bogged down into the details. And on one hand, like it is good to have those details. But on the other hand, if you let it get carried away, then it's going to be something you find yourself having to kind of push back against in the future. So just a little warning there.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think so. Another thing about complexity too, Matt, is that complexity, at least on the surface, can seem impressive. A lot of financial products, apps, or philosophies can seem flashy, but then underneath the surface, they don't actually offer much reward. There might be very little that was really gained, because this added complexity is often accompanied by higher fees. So for example, there are all sorts of high-priced investment funds that you could stick your money in. You could talk to some smart people that make them sound like they're totally worth their money, that they're going to outperform the market
yeah.
as a whole.
Or that you're just dumb if you're not going that route, right?
Right. and seeing that complexity just on its face can make it seem like, well, if I take the simple route, maybe I'm the stupid one. Maybe I don't actually understand. And that lack of understanding causes us to actually feel drawn to the more complex offering. But having all of your assets in 1 to 3 low-cost funds that you can actually understand is so much better, right? It's not flashy, but it works. And there's this quote from Paul Samuelson. He says, investing should be more like watching paint dry or watching grass grow. If you want excitement, take $800 and go to Las Vegas. And I totally agree with that, right? Simplicity might be boring, but at least you can wrap your mind around it. And that's something that works. Like to be able to be a good investor, we have to be able to look past the things that on the surface look impressive. They sound smart, but if we can't fully understand them, if they're too complex for us to get our minds around, then it's something that we really shouldn't be partaking in.
Yeah, it's easy to overpay, get charged these unnecessary fees when it's something that's complex and you don't understand it. Complexity, man, it also makes us more susceptible to scams or even just bad products that are out there when we don't understand what's going on, right? There's an article every week in some newspaper around the country about maybe a Ponzi scheme, you know, being busted up. Investors were promised astronomical returns for trusting a certain individual with their net worth. And yet almost always that money was spent to enrich that person until everything comes tumbling down like a house of cards. If instead we decided only to invest in ways that we can fully understand, like simpler ways, then we make it much less likely that we'll get taken in by these get-rich promises.
Yeah, Matt, it's not necessarily stupidity that causes people to invest with someone who's running a Ponzi scheme. Oftentimes, it's just a desire to do something good with their money. But it's something that's seemingly complex that they can't understand, and it seems appealing for precisely that reason.
Right.
But ultimately, actually, Ponzi schemes are super simple. It's usually someone just completely bilking you of your money and running off with it, which is obviously terrible. And actually, one of my favorite authors, Matt, Ben Carlson, wrote a book called Don't Fall For It, about this brief history of financial scams. I'm reading it right now. It's really crazy to see the different things that people fall for. We're going to have him on the show soon, which I'm excited about.
Yeah, that's going to be a great interview coming up in the upcoming months.
Yeah, and but it's not always scams, right? Sometimes it is just bad products. And it just makes me think of like home warranties or extended warranties. And these are the sorts of things that we're super susceptible to buying. It might cost us $50 on a new TV that we purchased or $500 on a home that we bought. Those things add up. But oftentimes those products aren't really worth the money we've paid for them. Not even close, right? And if you look at the mice type on a lot of those things, there are many issues with that potential product that aren't covered. There are deductibles that you have to pay in order to get your item fixed. On their surface, they're touting something really easy, but underlying is something really complex that costs a lot of money and doesn't really offer you much in return.
And Joel, we wanted to share one other drawback of complexity, and that is of rigidity. Another downside to complexity might be that you're more likely to be inflexible. Maybe when it comes to how you budget, you created this machine, you know, like this process that you adhere to no matter what. You're a robot. And while in some cases this can be a good thing, you know, like sticking to the plan, right? Like if something comes up, you stick to the plan, you abide by the rules that you set forth. But like this also doesn't really leave you for a lot of room to be a little more spontaneous and to actually enjoy the fruits of your labor. And I'm thinking about the stimulus checks earlier this year, like how many people just kind of took that check, plugged it into their machine, into their budgeting machine, and just kind of absorbed it without ever really seeing the results of that, right? On one hand, I think that that's a good thing, right? Like maybe at least 10 or 20% of that, at the very least, was invested. But on the other hand, you know, could you have maybe spent some of that money in a way that kind of moved the needle for you emotionally? You know, like that could have gone a long way, maybe even as a sort of a morale boost. And this is another one of these drawbacks that I kind of struggle with myself, man. You know, it's easy for some to become obsessed with their personal finance and, you know, and their budgeting systems, the different spreadsheets that they've created over the years that direct where their money goes. But at the same time, that can also suck the fun out of lots of other areas in our life, you know, and it can also prevent you from being more generous as well. There's lots of different personal drawbacks that, you know, on the surface you would say, oh no, that's important to me, but are you actually going to do those things, or are you slave to these systems that you've created? I wanted to mention this one because while oftentimes we do, you know, tout the benefits of budgeting and creating these different systems, there can be a dark side to it as well.
Yeah, I think we were made to run budgets, not to let budgets run our lives, right?
Yeah.
And I think that's kind of what happens sometimes when we let it become too complex and overbearing, is we let the budget run us. Even when we want to make shifts in our own lives, let's say we want to change jobs, we want to work in a completely different sector, we want to start our own business, and yet we have this rigid formula that we have to max out a Roth IRA every year. And you know what? If I keep doing that, I'm not going to be able to launch my own business. I'm not going to have the capital, the startup capital, in order to do that. And that would be a case, right, where complexity gets in the way of the bigger, more important goals that we have. And Matt, we just kind of dogged on complexity a good bit, but the positive side of that is simplicity. And there are so many ways in which simplicity can be a huge benefit to our personal finances. We'll get into some specific ways that's the case, and then how to kind of create more simplicity in your financial life. Let's get to that right after the break.
All right, Joel, we're back from the break talking about money simplicity and how that breeds better results. And I was just kind of dogging on myself for having an overly complicated financial system.
Those are my favorite parts of the show.
When I talk to myself.
you can be like an American Ninja Warrior when it comes to your budget and your personal finances.
My self-flagellation.
Well, just your intensity, I would say, maybe.
You know, and for us...
You have this like insane obstacle course of a budget that you have to get through every month.
It's a good illustration. It's a good thing we have like a counselor for me after every episode we record right. to kind of like lift me back up, you know, out of the depths that I lower myself into. And so while, you know, the system though is good for us, I will say we've gotten to a place where that's fantastic and is great for us. Every penny has a name, like literally every penny goes accounted for. But for most folks, that's not the case, especially if you're just getting started with your personal finances. And so in that case, what we would recommend, man, is for those folks to have a simple budget. You know, we talked about this back when we discussed the best budgets for different personality types. And big picture, a simple budget is just going to be way better than no budget at all. So instead of no budget, just simplify it to a basic 80-20 budget. That's where 80% of your money goes towards day-to-day expenses and you're saving 20%. Or you can even look to a 50-30-20 budget. That's where 50% is going towards needs, 30% towards wants, and then 20% you're putting towards retirement. You know, just the goal here is to get you moving in the right direction and to reduce any barriers that might be keeping you from taking action altogether. We talked about earlier how when things are overcomplicated, it keeps you from taking those first steps to begin with. Well, if that's you, then just look at an 80-20 budget. I love the simplicity of that, how just make sure that you're setting aside 20% of your income and the rest, do what you want. You want to spend it all on housing? Sure. You want to, you know, have a really nice car? That's fine. But as long as you set aside that 20%, that's an awesome start.
Yeah, and it's super simple, super easy to actually adhere to. Matt, let's talk about debt too, because that's something that can truly complicate the financial picture of our lives. And, you know, we talk about the debt snowball versus the debt avalanche. You know, we did an episode all about how you tackle your debt problem and which one of those methods is better. And I think you and I ultimately decided on the fact that whatever method you can stick to, whichever one is simpler for you to implement is actually the best one.
That's right.
Right. And on another note, when it comes to debt, well, getting rid of your debt as quickly as possible can be the other simple method. I think sometimes we weigh the approach of investing versus paying off debt. And the thing that we don't bring into the picture is that having that debt, well, it's another bill to pay. It's something else weighing on your mind. And Matt, when we had Andy Hill on the show a while back, who is the host of the Marriage, Kids, and Money show, he talked about why he paid off his mortgage in 4 years. Obviously, he had this just laser focus to getting rid of that mortgage debt. Like, he didn't want to have any sort of debt in his life. That's what he prioritized. And I understand the motivation behind that. It's the simplicity in it all, right? To not have any sort of bill due every single month. How good does that feel? And there are so many people in the personal finance space that would give Andy a hard time for that decision. They would run the numbers and they would say, well, here's how much more your net worth is going to be over 10 or 20 years by, instead of paying off the mortgage, by investing the difference. And honestly, Andy's path is not the path that I'm on, but I can appreciate it. I can appreciate his desire for simplicity and how that fueled his mission to crush that mortgage sooner. I just think that's really cool. And that's something a lot of people should at least take into consideration, because if simplicity can actually move the ball forward, whereas the complex solution feels a little more unapproachable, unattainable, then I would say go simple every day, all day.
Yeah. And so if you're finding yourself in that position, right, that's you. Don't worry necessarily about juggling paying off debt and investing at the same time. Focus on whatever is going to get you moving, you know? And so in this case, pay off that debt. Don't worry about investing at the same time. And Joel, you touched on actually paying off debt, like how to go about paying off debt. Well, this is a huge argument in favor of the debt snowball approach, right? You could create a super complicated plan to get rid of your debt by listing out what you owe, the interest rates, the length of the term, maybe even trying to figure out like how paying off certain debts are going to impact your credit. But if you haven't gained any traction with an approach like this, then maybe going with a simple debt snowball is going to be better. Because regardless of the interest rate, if you're focusing on, you know, whatever debt is the smallest and you're able to move forward and you kind of get that emotional high, well, that's going to spur you on to pay off that next debt. And that's going to allow you to breed better results, right?
Yeah, that's one less paperless bill in your email inbox, and it's one fewer piece of mental accounting that you have to do, because it's one fewer bill that you have in your life. So I think you're right. I mean, I think that if our desire is for simplicity in paying down debt, the debt snowball is the best approach. Matt, let's talk about something else that helps directly create simplification in our life, and that's automation. And we dove deep into automation and how that impacts your personal finances back in episode 161. And setting up automatic 401k contribution increases or direct bill pay means that those financial tasks are going to get done without you having to think about it. So in your attempts to make your financial life simpler, look to automation as a big part of that process. I think I specifically mentioned in that episode my super weird desire to actually physically go in to the back end of Vanguard and manually increase the amount that I'm investing. I think I'm by far the exception to the rule in this, though. I think most people should have it on autopilot for simplicity and for the fact that it's actually going to get done if they let an algorithm take care of that increase as opposed to trying to manually do it every so often.
And another way, man, that we can simplify our money even more is to have fewer accounts with the different companies in our lives. And the byproduct of this means that, like, you need less apps on your phone, and there aren't as many passwords to remember, which is definitely something that comes as a benefit, right?
Oh my gosh, I hate remembering passwords. And I know they have those password apps. I should probably give one of them a shot, like Dashlane, right?
Yeah, actually, you know what? We should actually devote maybe an entire show to that.
Well, I should devote my life to actually getting one of those.
That's because I know all of your passwords are the same.
I have like two passwords I vacillate between.
You might be one of those guys. I don't know.
At least it's not password 123 or something like that.
But the benefit of consolidating into fewer companies, though, is that you can see more of your information. Anytime I'm able to streamline and reduce the number of accounts that I have, dude, I'm all for that. But even still, if you feel the need for maybe some different accounts to help you do better at saving for maybe a specific goal, well, then you can look to a bank like Ally. They've got these different savings buckets that you create within the savings account. It's really sweet, really easy to set up. That's a great way for you to have some of that differentiation, some of that detail, while also just having a single account.
Do you have a bucket set up directly for my birthday present that you're saving for?
This kind of goes contrary to simplification, but I do have a bucket that's labeled birthdays/parties.
So, I think you should add one more /Joel.
Joel as well. Yeah. Like, you mm-hmm. deserve your own title within that bucket.
I mean, I think so.
Well, for you, maybe I'll just open up an entirely new account.
Oh, that's what I'm talking about.
Is that even better for you?
That might be too complex, but I agree. I think the savings buckets in the back end of Ally are pretty sweet. Another example of having fewer accounts with fewer companies might be having fewer credit cards. And I think having two credit cards can kind of help people maximize most of the rewards they're seeking, while at the same time not overcomplicating finances and not having too many pieces of plastic in their wallet, which also the complexity of having too many credit cards can get you into trouble, right? So that's one area if trying to open up new credit cards and get the sign-up bonuses.
Which I love.
I know you do. Yeah, but for so many people, it just becomes too much, right? Yeah. It's overwhelming. And so, yeah, if something that is good on the surface becomes overwhelming to you, then it's just not worth it.
Yeah, but that Chase Sapphire sign-up bonus, so good.
It's so good. That's true.
I'm a big fan.
So, Matt, I think at this point in the show, people should consider giving themselves a list of super simple money tasks, right? Maybe one a day for a month or even just one a week, whatever you can handle, right? But focus on achievable tasks that move you in the direction of simplifying your finances. It's important to have like this sense of accomplishment along the road, right? Even if the immediate financial impact is small, the effect that it has on you mentally is huge. So the next step in battling complexity and embracing simplicity is to have those simple money tasks that you can set out to accomplish in a reasonable time frame.
And these aren't these really daunting tasks, man. We're talking about these tiny little bite-sized tasks. Like, we're talking about cutting maybe some of the streaming services that you don't even use anymore. Maybe you can start to, you know, track your spending with Mint. Just go ahead and just sign up for that account. But then after that, you can move maybe to some of these slightly larger tasks, like switching banks if you haven't opened an online account yet. If you can start doing these things, you'll be setting yourself up for success with this kind of initiative by focusing on those achievable tasks.
Yeah, and that would be like a simple Google Doc of simple money tasks that you want to accomplish. Sit down at your computer. If you have a partner, sit down with them and create a task list together that feels easy enough to accomplish in a reasonable time frame. Because that's what's going to actually make it happen. Set calendar reminders too, if that's helpful in the process. And man, I think it's helpful too to realize that getting your money in a good place, it's not a series of heavy lifts. I think it feels like that from the outside. It feels like that when you're getting started. But getting good with money is actually a lot of really small, simple moves that grow in importance over time, right? These are simple tasks that all of us can perform. And each one we implement, well, it grows our confidence that we are handling our money in a smart way and that we can pay off that debt, grow our savings, and increase our net worth. So let's get rid of complexity. Embrace simplicity, knowing that the simple approach is actually going to cause us to avoid a lot of headache. It's going to cause us to obsess less over our finances over time, while also so much in the financial realm when it comes down to it. The simple choice is often the better choice.
Yeah, you know, kind of what we're talking about here is behavior modification, right? The goal isn't necessarily to keep things simple forever, because over time, like, things do tend to get a little more complicated and detailed. But by then, you'll have gained some of the experience that's needed to understand, you know, what will and what won't work for you. If you can start with those heavier lifts, those more daunting tasks, then more power to you. But for everyone else, starting from a place of understanding can get you moving in the right direction while keeping a balanced life and avoiding some of those costly mistakes along the way.
Yeah, Matt, simplicity, so underrated so much of the time. And in particular, when it comes to how we handle our money.
Yeah, so, such a hidden little gem, simplification.
It is. And yeah, so hopefully this was encouraging for a lot of people out there who think personal finances need to be complex. It's not a subject that needs a ton of complexity. So much of what you need to know breaks down to just a couple easy rules to understand. The simplest of which to understand is don't spend more than you make.
Yeah. Right?
So that's the absolutely most simplified basic version of personal finance right there.
A nice little final maxim to end on. All right, man, let's switch it back to the beer. This episode, we enjoyed a Scorpius Morchella. This is a double IPA from Toppling Goliath out of Decorah, Iowa. Man, what were your thoughts on this beer?
All right, so I was getting that tingly hop sensation, Matt, that you mentioned sometimes.
Oh, yeah.
When it comes to fresh hops. I think it had a little bit of tangerine, a little bit of pineapple notes, and that touch of sweetness, because double IPAs often have a little more sweetness than just a single IPA. And this one brought some good sweetness, but it wasn't overly sweet. It kind of hit that perfect note. And so, yeah, I really like this one. If I had to compare it to the other one from Toppling Goliath that we had on Monday's episode, the Pseudo Sue, I think I'd pick the Pseudo Sue over this one.
Oh, yeah, really?
Yeah, but this one was really tasty, too.
The Pseudo Sue was a really good beer.
Yeah, it was.
This was a different beast. This was a double IPA, and with a double, a lot of times you get really bold flavors, and I feel like that's what this beer is delivering. I feel like it's got a nice hot punch. And so on my tongue, it kind of has a touch of that kind of blue cheese funkiness going on, which I actually really enjoy, even though it sounds weird every time I say it out loud. But I also saw in the can that they brew this beer every spring to celebrate when the brewery takes off, and they all go morel hunting, like mushroom hunting.
Yeah.
Which is super cool. I saw that on there while we were recording this episode, and it made me so happy inside. I can just picture the whole brewery shutting down and them like venturing out into the woods trying to find these wild mushrooms.
With their little canvas sacks, is that what you put mushrooms in?
Yeah, it feels appropriate,
yeah.
Right?
That's what I would put mushrooms in.
But it just makes me feel good about the kind of community that they fostered there within their brewery, even if it is just for marketing purposes. I don't know if it's true or not, but I've got nothing but great things to say about Toppling Goliath. They're great, and we are incredibly appreciative of Kelsey for sending this one our way.
Yeah, thanks, Kelsey. All right, Matt, that's going to do it for this episode. For folks that want show notes, they can go to our website, howtomoney.com.
That's right, man. And I want to take one second as well. And just to thank all of our listeners out there, we have amazing listeners who not only help each other out when it comes to their money, you know, like there's folks in the Facebook group answering each other's questions, making recommendations, looking out for each other. But we're just appreciative of all of our listeners out there who have subscribed to the show. And so I wanted to just say thank you, right? Joel and I, we couldn't do this show. We couldn't have this podcast without all of our devoted listeners out there. So we appreciate you.
Completely agree, man. Got the best listeners out there, that's
yeah.
For sure. All right, Matt, that's going to be it. Until next time.
Best friends out.
Best friends out.